You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ. Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to Together with Jesus. We are going to be talking about John 15 and 16 today, and we're going to be reading that out of the New English Translation, the NET Bible. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He takes away every branch that does not bear fruit in me. He prunes every branch that bears fruit so that it will bear more fruit. You are clean already because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. Because apart from me, you can accomplish nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out like a branch and dries up, and such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and are burned up. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is honored by this, that you bear much fruit and show that you are my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My commandment is this, to love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, that one lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves because the slave does not understand what his master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have revealed to you everything I heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that remains, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This I command you, to love one another. If the world hates you, be aware that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. However, because you do not belong to the world, but I chose you out of the world, for this reason the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they obeyed my word, they will obey yours too. But they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, but they no longer have any excuse for their sin. The one who hates me hates the Father too. If I had not performed among them the miraculous deeds that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen the deeds and have hated both me and my Father. Now this happened to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you all these things so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. Yet a time is coming when the one who kills you will think he is offering service to God. They will do these things because they have not known the Father or me. But I have told you these things so that when their time comes, you will remember that I told you about them. I did not tell you these things from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking me, where are you going? Instead, your hearts are filled with sadness because I have said these things to you. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I am going away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but will speak whatever he hears, and will tell you what is to come. He will glorify me, because he will receive from me what is mine, and will tell it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what is mine, and will tell it to you. In a little while, you will see me no longer. Again, after a little while, you will see me. Then some of his disciples said to one another, what is the meaning of what he is saying? In a little while you will not see me, after a little while you will see me, and because I am going to the Father. So they kept on repeating, what is the meaning of what he says in a little while? We do not understand what he is talking about. Jesus could see that they wanted to ask him about these things, so he said to them, are you asking each other about this, that I said, in a little while you will not see me again, and after a little while you will see me? I tell you the solemn truth. You will weep and wail, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sad. But your sadness will turn into joy. When a woman gives birth, she has distress because her time has come. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the suffering because of her joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. At that time you will ask me nothing, and I tell you the solemn truth. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have not asked anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive it, so that your joy may be complete. I have told you these things in obscure figures of speech. A time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in obscure figures, but will tell you plainly about the Father. At that time you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered into the world, but in turn I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. His disciples said, look, now you are speaking plainly and not in obscure figures of speech. Now we know that you know everything and do not need anyone to ask you anything. Because of this, we believe that you have come from God. Jesus replied, do you now believe? Look, a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each one to his own home, and I will be left alone. Yet I am not alone because my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble and suffering, but take courage. I have conquered the world. Well, if you're still here, that must mean that you're hanging around for the after party, and so thank you for doing that. We're going to take a little bit of time and take a look at some of the kind of deeper things behind what Jesus is saying in John 15 and 16 here. Now, we've got a lot of really pretty dense stuff in these two chapters, and we're going to be taking a look at that in just a little bit, but we will get started off with just this maybe kind of familiar passage about Jesus being of the vine. Now, just to put this in context, where we have been is we have been sitting at the Passover meal with Jesus, and Jesus has just told his disciples to get up and to leave. Now, Judas has already left, and that's going to come in a little bit here. And so it seems that, at least in my imagination, it's probably like they're walking from the upper room, they're going to the Garden of Gethsemane, and it's very possible that Jesus was passing by a vine or something like that and kind of using it as an illustration. And so Jesus says, you know, I am the true vine and the Father is the vine dresser. Now, this is something that is a very common picture that God uses in the Old Testament for himself and for Israel. Israel, normally speaking, is the vineyard or the vine, and the Father then is the vine dresser. He's the one who is in charge of cutting it back if it needs to be cut back. He's also the one who, you know, gets rid of all of the unwanted growth. And here we have Judas has just left. He's just been sort of clipped out of the disciples. And now Jesus is using this illustration of the vine and the vine dresser
And kind of showing that this was God's plan all along, that God removes that which is not going to be healthy. He's still using it in his plan, and yet not in the same way that he's using the other disciples. And here Jesus is really kind of continuing this idea that he and the Father are connected, that the Father is the one who gives the commandments, and then those commandments are passed down through Jesus to his disciples, and they're to follow those commandments in order to show their love. Now, this is not saying that this is kind of entirely just sort of this conditional love thing, but Jesus is saying, hey, if you do love me, my commandments are going to be done. That's what's going to happen in your life as a result of your love for me. And so Jesus is using this kind of metaphor that his life force, his truth, his everything is going to flow out of himself and into the disciples as they're continuing to go on. And then after that, he shows that there's a difference in them that's going to pop up once they start experiencing this connection that they have with Jesus. And that difference is going to be that the world all of a sudden is going to notice that they are connected to Jesus. And because of that, the world is going to hate them. The world is going to react adversely to them. And that's what Jesus is beginning to warn his disciples about. This is the last little bit of his farewell discourse where he's telling the disciples what it's going to be like when he's gone. And so this is a very important point that Jesus needs to point out to them. Hey, because you're with me, now all of a sudden you are branded with me. And so that identity that the disciples receive from Jesus being a part of him is one that kind of cuts both ways. It's great being connected to the Father through Jesus, but it's also one where they have to recognize that they are going to be hated by the world, and that, you know, he even goes as far as saying that people will think that they're doing a good deed when they kill them. And so it just like people thought that with Jesus, people, you know, legitimately thought that they were doing a good deed, that they were doing something God pleasing when they put Jesus on the cross. So too will it be like with the disciples. In this section, Jesus also gets into talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is, in John, is really sort of the spirit of Jesus. That's the connection that John is trying to make. So, as Jesus is leaving, he's leaving his Holy Spirit with his disciples. And so, it's kind of like having Jesus inside of them. And certainly, that's true. I mean, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all a part of the Trinity. They're all the same God. And so, having the Holy Spirit in you is kind of having Jesus in you. And yet at the same time, it's distinct from that. That's how it's difficult understanding the Trinity. But there is kind of that connection there that we have. And yet the Holy Spirit stays with them in a way that the Son doesn't, because the Son is a mortal human being at this point. He's able to die. Now, he is also an immortal God, and so he's able to raise again. But at this point, he's recognizing, okay, I do have to leave, and I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. Now, here John really gets into what it is that the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit, the things that he brings out about the Holy Spirit here are that he's going to bring basically kind of an awareness. He's going to bring a conviction, and he's going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness. And the Holy Spirit is going to be able to bring forth all of these ideas that people are going to need in order to rightfully judge. Now, I know that a lot of times Christians get a bad rap for judging, and sometimes because of that, we say to one another, well, don't judge anyone. Well, what we really mean by that is don't condemn anyone, don't tell anybody that they're going to hell, but there is a certain amount of judgment that the Christian has to do. You have to do some judgment when you're deciding between committing a sin and not committing a sin. And that's a judgment call on you. And that's the kind of judgment that the Holy Spirit is able to afford us, because now we're not just operating in our own spirits, but we're actually operating on the basis of the Holy Spirit, who is actually able to show us what true right and wrong are all about. So all of this talk, not necessarily just this chapter, but even the stuff beforehand, it seems like it's all stacking up on the disciples. And the disciples are saying, what on earth does this mean? I mean, they literally are just about saying that in this text. They don't understand what Jesus means when he says that he's going and they can't follow, and that he'll be back in a little while. You know, they keep on repeating this amongst themselves and talking to one another. And so Jesus, you know, hears that, overhears it, perhaps. I don't know how we're supposed to interpret how John writes this here. But then Jesus addresses that as he says that. And so then he says something that, to me, as I read this anyway, I don't know about you, to me, it sounds a little bit less clear. It sounds a little bit more abstract, a little bit less concrete. And yet, that's because I'm looking at this text, you know, 2,000 years later, with the help of the church, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you know, I'm able to understand what Jesus is saying. But Jesus' disciples, in the moment that they're hearing this, they are just flummoxed. They just have no idea what Jesus is saying. And so he says some stuff, and it seems like they catch on. They go, oh, now we get it. And Jesus responds to them in a way that I'm, again, kind of not sure how to read it, because we know that the disciples don't fully get what Jesus is meaning. And so Jesus, at least in my text, the way that he responds to that is he says, do you now believe? Question mark. Now, there are some other other translations that say, you know, something like, oh, now you believe. And so there's kind of this question of, is Jesus sort of letting the disciples off of the hook here in some ways? Is he just sort of saying, okay, you understand enough that we can continue to go, and you're going to, you know, learn the rest of this? And the Holy Spirit, he's already promised, is going to bring all of this stuff back to remembrance. Is that what Jesus is doing here? That seems to be what he's doing here. There's, you know, kind of this question of, okay, the disciples really don't understand Jesus completely at this point. So what do they understand is the big question. What they do understand does seem to be the basics of what they need to know as Jesus is going to the cross and as he's going to the next little bit that we're going to look at in the Garden of Gethsemane. So after Jesus says, do you now believe? He then goes in and says, behold, an hour is coming and already has come for you to be scattered each to his own home and to leave me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. So Jesus here is very clearly testifying, prophesying to the next thing that's going to happen. And the next thing that's going to happen is that he is going to go into the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to be in prayer there for a while. He's going to ask the Father that all of this would not be something that he has to do. And then after that, the guards are going to come and they're going to take him away. And we're really going to get into the passion of John in kind of a proper way, in the full passion of Jesus, where he's going to be tried, he's going to be tortured, he's going to be then executed and then rise again. And that's what we have to look forward to next week. And so thanks for continuing to journey with us in the Gospel of John here. We really do love that you've come along with us this far, and we look forward to looking into those next two chapters with you starting next week. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.